But I want to thank you guys. Welcome. Welcome this morning. Turn and greet at someone this morning as you say good morning and take your seats. We're going to transition to hearing the word from the pastor this morning.
We all have questions. Questions like, why do you drive in a parkway but park in a driveway? Why are apartments stuck together? Is a hot dog a sandwich? Some questions are more important than others. This past Easter, we gave a survey to find your most asked questions. Questions like, how do I handle stress and disappointment? How do I share my faith or discover God's plan for my life? What about heaven and having better time management? Or how do I raise my kids in this culture? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan because you asked for it.
There it is. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good to see you today. Oh, man. We got guests in the audience. Can we just say thank you by giving a big hand clap? Folks brand new today, never been here before. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. And while you're at it, let's welcome our online church. We love you guys. Let's go ahead and welcome you guys. Come on, give them better than that. Let them hear you. Come on. Yeah, we're glad you're here. I love the wonderful ability to be able to broadcast all over the world. And that's something that when I was growing up, I could have never imagined in church being able to do that. I thought that was just for big churches and this magical internet that we have. Let's take it back for Jesus. Y'all want to do that? I hear music. I always hear music in my head. I always check my phone, too, because y'all know that's happened to me before when I'm preaching, is my phone talks back to me. Hey, just a few things before I get into the message today. Sunday, the first Sunday of November, is going to be Legacy. Everybody say Legacy. It's Legacy Sunday. It's our Legacy Giving Day. And every year on this Sunday, everything that we give goes towards some special event or special thing. Last year, we gave, and that money was spent to get us into our new place. Are we grateful, guys? Come on, church. Are we grateful? So grateful for our new place. And so we're able to do that. This year, our goal is to raise $25,000 to buy new chairs and a baptistry, y'all. Come on. We need a place to dunk people on our own, and so we're looking forward to that. And so be praying. Here's your job for Legacy Sunday. It is to be praying what God will put on your heart to give for that day. There's going to be no pressure. I'm not going to show you like this video to make you cry and feel something right beforehand so you'll give more stuff. It's literally asking God, what would you have me to do to be able to bless our church family for that day? And everything given on that day will go toward that end. And so and that means for those of you who are partners with us, that's not like a request. We're expecting that. So we're looking forward to it. Last year, our goal was $10,000. We raised about $23,000. So if we do $25,000 and we factor in the add to that, so we can push $30,000, I'm sure. And so looking forward to that. If you're a guest with us, we don't sit around and talk about money all the time. But this coming up, that Sunday, I want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on with that. And it does cost money to be able to run and do what we do. And so be thinking about that. Today is step three of impact. Everybody say impact. Impact is today. If you don't know what that is, that's basically what we do to help people who are new learn about our church. And today is step three of a three-step process, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, which is today. And we're going to be adding people to teams. Y'all, this last first step that we had, step one of this month, we had more than we've had any time. We had 15 participants in step one. That's something to clap about. And that's exciting. We've made this little room back here, our impact room, and the very first month we have it, or second month we have it, we got to move to a bigger room, and that's a blessing. And I hope the room won't hold enough. I hope it won't be big enough long at all. So that's really great, great. And I appreciate it. Thank you to our team, our leaders. You need to be here at 5 and get ready to accept people onto your teams. Miss Diane wanted me to announce that next Sunday is Pink Sunday. You guys know that annually, Miss Diane is a breast cancer survivor herself, and so every year in October, we pick a Sunday, and we celebrate Pink Sunday. So wear your pink next week, and celebrate. And really, it's to honor the memory of those who have gone, and really the blessing of those who have survived that, and we have people in our church that have gone through that. So we'll be doing that next week, and then this Saturday's men's breakfast. That was all Russ's job to do, and bless his heart, he just preaches too long. That's what he does when he does. He just got to go and talk and talk and talk, and I'm one to talk, right? So anyway, no, I appreciate him and all that. And he turned around and looked. He said, they started the video. I didn't get to make the announcements. And I said, okay, I'll take care of that. So we did that. We love you guys. Today, we're in a series. This is the sixth message. I've kind of lost count, but I think it's the sixth message in this series, part six. And we're talking today and next week basically about the Holy Spirit. Today is the Holy Spirit himself talking about that and bringing a message about that. And then next week, I'm going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And the reason I'm doing that is because you asked for it. That was one of the most popular requests during our survey for a message from that series. And so we're going to be doing that this week and next week. I've entitled the message today, The Holy Spirit, The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. And you'll see why as we walk through this. There's no way to explain the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the first century, if you don't have the Holy Spirit. To explain why God could take 12, the Bible called them unlearned and ignorant men, and they hadn't had a lot of schooling. Some of them had. A few of them had some schooling, but they were basically just plain, everyday, ordinary guys, and they spread the gospel. They had no status, no power, and they spread the gospel all over the world. They had no internet, no huge mailing system of much of any kind, and they traveled by horseback and walking and camel and all those things. They still spread the gospel to the world, and there's no way to explain that without the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to understand that they were able to spread the gospel not because of what they didn't have, the lack of resources, but because of what they did have, the greatest gift. And so today as I walk through this message, I want you to realize kind of some of my background. I grew up in a church that basically we were cessationist, or would have been called cessationist, and that's just a big $5 word that basically says that the Holy Spirit worked in the first century, and when those people died, the Holy Spirit did not directly work with people or work in people. I grew up in a church and believed for a long time myself that the Holy Spirit did not even personally indwell the Christian. And I know some of you are looking at me like, what? What are you talking about? If you've been a part of a religious body, a religious group of people, then, and even this one, we all tend to get into things in our mind that we think the Word says because we've been taught over and over and over and over again. And that's why we have to continue to research the Scripture, or search the Scripture, and figure out what's going on with this particular topic. And the Holy Spirit was one that we were, and y'all, it's kind of like this. It would be like you having an automobile and you can't put any fuel in it. Or you take the spark plugs out of it, or you remove the motor, or whatever, anything that propels that car. I mean, at the end of the day, if your car drives itself and it's got all these bells and whistles, but it don't move, then you got a useless piece of junk, right? And basically, growing up in church, for me, the Holy Spirit was that. I knew he existed. I knew he was a part of the Godhead, but I didn't think he had any direct operation in my life. And one of the reasons we thought that is because of all the many misconceptions that we saw around us with the Holy Spirit. And so basically you're going to wind up, I said basically like 10 times already. I'm sorry, guys. I'll try to get that word out of here. So basically you're going to want two extremes with the Holy Spirit usually. You're either way on the side where I was, where the Holy Spirit was in no operation, and he didn't do anything, and he acted at all. Or you were on the other side. The other extreme of that is the Holy Spirit's in the pole, and he's in the drum, and he's in the guitar, and he's in the stand, and he's in everything in my life, and he makes me feel good, and I get all this stuff going on in my life, and I start shaking in my voice a little bit, and y'all know where I'm going with that, right? And now, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit can emit emotion in your life. He can move in your life. He can cause you to be quiet and still when you're like me and you talk too much. He can say, shh. The Holy Spirit is someone to be respected and honored and worshiped. And so we're going to learn some things about him today. The night before Jesus was crucified, he met with his disciples and he said, I'm going away. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John, all throughout the Gospel of John, beginning somewhere around chapter 7, John writes over and over and over again that Jesus kept reminding them, hey, I'm going away. I'm leaving. I'm going away. And they were scratching their heads going, what? Well, I mean, you read the end of chapter 13, and they get distraught about it. In fact, that's where we get the famous verse where Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come take you back. You'll see me again, but I've got to go away. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand. And he says, you cannot even come where I'm going. Now, tell the Apostle Peter, you can't go where Jesus is. He didn't like that at all. If you're watching The Chosen, you can see, you know what he looks like now, right? You know? Anyway, that's kind of a funny thing. But seriously, I mean, these guys didn't want to be anywhere away from Christ. Even when he sent them away into the city to go buy things, they did everything they could to get back to him. They wanted to be where he was. And when he said, I'm going away and you can't come, oh, that messed them up really, really bad. That he had to tell them two or three times, it's going to be okay. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why could Jesus say that in a moment when they were so distraught and so down and so scared and like, no, this can't happen, this can't be happening. He could say it because he knew something better was coming. It's like when you tell your children, oh, you think this is great now, just wait until this comes. And they go, I don't even know what that means. And when seasons end in your life and you're going, Lord, what's wrong with this? Like we, as a church, we started out, we didn't have a place to be. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any land. We still don't have land. We didn't have anything. Everything we had was borrowed, and we were just going, what's next? We don't really know what's next. And we just kept taking one step of faith after another, and God was guiding us through that process. And when you're in those seasons where you can't see beyond, I think I could. I could see this room almost, not exactly like this, but I could see a bigger place for us to be. And we were meeting in little tiny places and all these things. And you get discouraged sometimes. God, I don't know what, Lord, what's going to happen? It's almost like God is saying, just hold on. Better things are coming. Just hold on. You keep doing what I ask you to do, and things are coming. It's going to get better. And so God is always leading us in that direction. He told the disciples, he said, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, verse 7 says, in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. The advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, the advocate. I was in a group of little kids. I was teaching like fifth and sixth graders up in Iron City, Tennessee one time. And I said, who can tell me what an advocate is? And this little kid raised his hand. And I said, what's an advocate? He said, it's a newspaper. Because they had a newspaper called the Tennessee Advocate. That's what he saw as a newspaper. Y'all, this word, I'm going to say more about it later on, but I love that word, that the Holy Spirit is my advocate. And he says, if I don't go away, he cannot come, so I have to go away. And they're thinking, man, it just can't get much worse than this. But Jesus is telling them the best is yet to come. They are facing a future that is uncertain to them, and Jesus lets them know that when I go away, it's not going to be easy. This is one of the mistakes with the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes, he just makes everything great, and I'm just happy, and I'm just, yeah, you know, all the time. And Jesus said, when I leave and I go away, there's going to come times when you're going to be arrested because of me. It's going to cost you something. You're going to be persecuted if you follow me. He even said at one point that people are going to hate you because of me, he said. Now, some of you can relate to that in our world now. This, just because you're a believer, you get shunned or you get laughed at or you get made fun of or you get ridiculed and people ask you questions that you can't answer and you seem confused, like, I don't know what's going on. Hey, guess what? The advocate's in you. Relax, everybody. Jesus went away, but the Holy Spirit is here. And so I hope that if you don't get anything else, you get that today. See, what did they need more of? When they're scared, they don't know what's happening. What did they need more? Did they need more Bible? Did they need more law, some more Torah? Jesus revealed some more of the law to us. No, they didn't need that. Maybe they just needed to just think positively. Just have this positive. Don't think negative thoughts. Let's just put positivity in our hearts and in our lives, and that'll make it all better. Jesus didn't say that. He doesn't even say for them to depend on each other more. Although, by the way, there's nothing wrong with Torah and law, and there's nothing wrong with positive thinking, and there's nothing wrong with us all being together to do it. We talk a lot around here about team. This is a team. This stuff don't just happen. This team comes together and we pray and we work and we enjoy and we just, if you see us up here and you think we're having fun and this is entertaining to us, you'd be exactly right. It is. I love worship. I love it more now than I've ever loved it in my whole entire life. There's a spirit connected to that, and I think it's God's Holy Spirit that does that. But I'm telling you, all these things that you keep reaching out for, Jesus doesn't even answer all their questions. He just says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you the advocate. And he said, look at the words he said. It's better for you. It's better for you. How many of us would raise our hands and say, you don't have to now, but how many would you be willing to raise your hand and say, you know, I'd like to have 10, 15 minutes to sit down and talk to Jesus? I mean, you're going to have that opportunity in Christ, by the way, one day. But here, how many times when you just, Lord, if you just come sit next to me and just let me, just talk me through this, just help me figure this out. We think the physical Jesus would be here because we seem to be able to relate to him okay. We think about God, the Father. We relate to him okay. But Holy Spirit? And some churches still use the word Holy Ghost. Ooh. And it's like, what? What is this? And so he says it's better for you. Some translations say it's good for you. It's profitable for you. It is to your advantage that I leave and Holy Spirit comes. And as much as we would love to say that we would love to have Jesus sitting here, in order for us to really appreciate what the Holy Spirit is in our life, we have to appreciate that Jesus glorified and Jesus put forth the Holy Spirit and Jesus was ready for the Holy Spirit to come. Rick Ashley said this. He's a pastor that I heard. He said, we will never appreciate the Holy Spirit like we should until we understand how much Jesus appreciated the Holy Spirit. Never understand it. So what did Jesus think about the Holy Spirit? He was passionate about the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't have a theological view on the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever asked you about that? What is your church? I get this all the time. When they find out I'm the pastor of the church, they ask me all the time, Brett, they say, what does your church talk about the Holy Spirit? How do they talk about the Holy Spirit? And it's interesting because when I begin to answer questions, I automatically know kind of where they come from. I can tell people who come from my background and people who come from the other extreme background, and they expect us to do certain things. Now, probably some of you in here that are new, maybe never been in here before, and if you just watch online or whatever, and you walk into this room and you hear the music's loud and people's hands are up in the air, and, you know, I mean, you just have to watch out. Miss Brenda showed up today. She might come down here and start dancing for Jesus. She could do, I mean, and you start looking around this room and you're going, I don't understand this. Let me just tell you, let me assure you, if you're in that boat, I've been there. I know exactly how you feel. And some of you, we don't expect anybody to do any of that stuff. What we expect, what we want you to do is to understand the Holy Spirit's real. He could be in your life. And I hope to be able to unpack some things today to help you. Jesus's experience with the Holy Spirit really started pre-birth. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Luke 1:35. He said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born, that is Jesus, will be holy. Did you check out the connection with that? I will come, you will be conceived of the Holy Spirit so that the child that's born to you will be holy, and we will call him the Son of God. And then later, after his baptism, you know, John the Baptist didn't want to do it. I'm not baptizing you. I mean, can you imagine Jesus walking in and saying, I need you to baptize me? And John the Baptist said, and Jesus said, we have to do this. This is the right thing to do. And he does. And when it happened, Scripture said that Jesus, the dove came down on him. I think you mentioned this a while ago in your pre-service thing. And the dove came down and it came on him and remained with him, as Russ said earlier. And so we see that signification at his birth, at his baptism, and then right after his baptism, Scripture says Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He comes out of the river filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, then the Spirit led him into the desert. Into the desert. What happened in the desert? Y'all remember? That's the temptation of Christ, where the devil comes to him and says, you need to do this and do this and do this and bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. He begins to quote Scripture to him. By the way, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised if something comes out of your mouth. Because every time in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit fills somebody, they sing, they praise, they pray, they talk, they speak out for God, they write. It has something to do with putting out a message to Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to do anything to you that doesn't connect you with the message of Jesus, y'all. Well, I'm going to talk later on about being afraid. I'm not going to be careful. I'm just going to preach. And so anyway, Peter says in Acts 10 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Everybody say with the Holy Spirit. Spirit and power. So God came and anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good. And did you see what he did? He anoints him with Spirit and power, and he went around doing good. He went around doing good. Some of y'all waiting on an experience or a moment or something like that. And here the Holy Spirit fills up Jesus, and he just goes and does good. He goes on to say, doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Do you see the connection between those two things? The Holy Spirit comes, and God was with him. God was with him. And so Luke 10:21 even says that Jesus was full of joy, where? In the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 9:14, Scripture says, by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So how did Jesus go to the cross? Where did he get the strength? Where did he get the power to do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit who was in him. He went to the cross. And I'll carry it even further than that with Scripture. Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, come on, y'all, is in you. He's in you and me. It's the same Spirit. Where were these verses when I was growing up? Did we just cut them out of the Bible and just say, I know what we did. Here's what we did. In order to explain away the Bible, we said that that could not mean that the actual Spirit was in us. So how can the Spirit be in us? And we connected verses together like the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. And we piecemealed together a theology that said that the only way the Holy Spirit can indwell in you is if you know the Bible. Well, I know some atheists full of the Holy Spirit then. They don't believe in God, but they know the Bible better than some people that know the Bible and know God. So it was confusing in my mind, and we just skipped we observed the Passover in the churches of Christ. We passed over that verse and skipped it. That's what we did. And I love my heritage. Yo, I weep for my heritage. You know, my heritage is dying. The people that taught me the Bible and taught me, their churches are dying. You know why? Because they took the power out. They removed the battery from the car. They took the gas out of the engine, and it sputtered for a little bit, and they're dying. And I'm worried about them. And I love it when they come, and they talk to me, and I say, how did you get from here to there? And I say, I read the Bible. And it breaks my heart. So if you ever hear me talking about my heritage and kind of poking at them a little bit, it's because I got poked at so long, and I began to read the Bible and figure it all out. I'm not poking at them. My heart dies for them. Because they don't see so many of these things. And by the way, they're going to go to heaven just like me and you by the grace of God. They might not like it the first 3 months. They might, well, what was that? Did y'all hear that? They may come up with some. I remember thinking, wait a minute, there's music in heaven and I'm a drummer. Why can't I just fought all this stuff? Y'all, these are spiritual battles. They are. You ever get frustrated when somebody sees you in the Spirit and you do something like they think's crazy, and they look at you and go, I can't be the Holy Spirit. That can't be God doing that. And I've gotten a lot nicer because I used to be mean. I said, let me show you some Scripture. But I just got to, hey, can I just pray for you? Can I love you? Can I let you know how much I care about you? And what's so cool for me, and I don't know what your heritage is, by the way. Maybe you came out of the other end of it, and you come in here. We've actually had people come to our church for a little while and get mad and then call me and let me know that we don't have the Spirit of God in this church because we don't do certain things that they think should be on the other end of the spectrum. And I love them, too. It's so funny because I grew up in a church that said everybody else was going to hell. We all got it right. Y'all got it wrong. I grew up in a church that believed that and taught it. And then I get done that way by somebody else. I think, man, this must be what it felt like all them years. I was telling other people, you ain't got it right. I heard a guy say one time, he said, we think that the church with the most right answers has to be the right church. Good luck. Sometimes I want to just, like, spiritually grab up somebody and not really, just grab them up and just shake them a little bit. Hey, calm down. Shh. Let's go read the Bible together and come to an understanding. And then, hey, and I tell people this all the time, we're not for everybody, but we want to be. With all of our heart, we just want to be people who give life to other people. With all of our heart. And here's the thing. When somebody's judging your motives for something that God's doing in your life that comes out in a way that they think is strange, bless their heart, not yours. And you just love them back because it's hard to understand. I can tell you where I was the first time I lifted my hands in worship to God. I can tell you the building I was in, probably tell you to the near to the seat I was sitting in. You know why? Because it was a watershed moment for me. It was a moment in my life where I got free to do something I'd always longed to do, but didn't know what it felt like to do. I was scared to do that. We had a guy one time in our church. He was about second row, not this one. This was way, way long time ago. It was at a youth night. This kid, he'd come out of the Pentecostal movement. He was comfortable raising his hands. He'd been in church where he could dance for Jesus if he wanted to. He'd come into ours, and something was said that motivated that young man. He just lifted his hand up and saw. It was in singing, probably. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can fuss at the CFC if you want to, but we knew how to sing, brother, let me tell you. We could sing four-part harmony. Our whole church sounded like a choir. Y'all remember, don't you guys? And I remember, I think he got touched by that. He just lifted his hands up. He was worshiping. And this deacon came up to me afterwards, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, I wish somebody had answered that boy's question so he could put his hand down. Yeah, that's what he wanted me to do, was laugh. And it was funny. You know, y'all know me. I'm a jokester or whatever, but in the moment, it just went, because I knew what he was doing. And I just looked him in the eye, and I said, brother, that boy was in the presence of Almighty God in the throne room. I said, we all were. He just happened to show his emotion out loud. And I don't know, maybe I've gotten way off of my notes here, guys, but I don't know if that touches your heart or not. All I'm asking us to do is just let God do what God's going to do. Let me finish this message so I can help you understand where I'm coming from that. From the point of conception to the last day, Jesus was filled with, drenched in, guided by, enabled by, and helped by the Holy Spirit. He went to the cross by the power, and he resurrected by the power. I'm sorry, did I even read that passage? Did I skip a passage back there or something? I didn't. Okay, yeah. After the resurrection, Scripture says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving the chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. So even after his resurrection, he's still in the Spirit teaching and preaching. So a couple of truths about the Holy Spirit. 2 points today, and I'm going to get through these. I'm not going to promise you time, but I'm going to get through these. I think this is important. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not Jesus light. He's not just the third person. We say the third person of the Godhead, and he is, in my opinion, he is the third person of the Godhead. But even to say the Holy Spirit is a person kind of belittles that just a little bit. We just don't have any words in the language. In fact, the word Spirit itself comes from a Greek word that we had to make up something to make it sound right. It's pneustos, and it's where we get our word pneumonia, because really that word, that Greek word, just means breath. When you say Holy Spirit, it's breath. It's the breath of God. Inspiration is God's respiration. It's him breathing out. And so we had to make up a word for it. They came with this word Spirit. King James days, if you read the King James Bible, 1611, the word for Spirit was ghost. So nowadays, you say ghost to somebody that we serve the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost is God, that kind of unnerves people, because in our culture, a ghost is probably not something you want to run into. And so, and maybe Spirit's not either, but they're just not a word. We're doing everything we can to be able to explain who he is, but really, when you think about it, he's just life, the breath of life. And so the disciples weren't getting any less of Jesus. They were getting all of God. Jesus would tell them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he could tell them as well that he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Holy Spirit. He could actually say that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's all three of them, if you want to just look at that real quick. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Notice the word he chose for Holy Spirit to relate was a relational word. He's God. He's a person. He's not an it. He's a person. And here's a statement I put in your notes. The Holy Spirit is not a wonderful power. He is a powerful person. He's not just a wonderful power. And so many times people are seeking this power. It happened in the Bible. I mean, this word fellowship, it means association. And community and communion. In other words, Holy Spirit wants to have a close relationship with you and with me. Why is this so important? It's because you can't relate to a power. You can try to manipulate a power. You can try to control a power, but we have a relationship. He's not a feeling. He's not a feeling. He's not a sense. People say, I just sense the Holy Spirit in here today. Well, great. Great. I hope you sense him when you get in your car and you're driving down the road. I want to sense him. I want to know him everywhere. I don't want him just to be in here. I want him to be all over, everywhere. He needs to permeate our lives because he's a person that wants to come in. The Holy Spirit, the scripture points out that he speaks, he prays, he has a will. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit decides things. The Holy Spirit rejoices, and he can be grieved. He can even be lied to. It actually happened in scripture. It cost people their life when they lied to the Holy Spirit. Understand, we're not talking about tapping into a power. We're talking about how to relate better and have a fellowship with a person. In Acts 8, Peter and the disciples were doing these amazing things. And Simon, he was a sorcerer, a magician, and he saw them, and he said, ooh. If Simon didn't see God, he saw dollar signs. He said, I want some of that. I want to be able to do that. And he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was told, look, may your money be destroyed with you for your thinking that you could purchase the gift of God. You can't think that way. You can't buy God. You don't control God. You don't use God. You don't bargain with God. You don't make deals with God. And people do it all the time. I do it. I'm sorry. I get tempted sometimes. Lord, if you'll just fix this in my life, then I'll try to do this. And we bargain all the time. A kid in my youth group years ago, his name was Briggs Wright. And Briggs was one of these kids that came. He was hardened and angry at life and frustrated. And he was doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. And he came to the church. And long story short, he gave his life to Jesus. I remember I baptized Briggs on a youth retreat at Joe Wheeler State Park in the swimming pool in February, y'all. Come on. It was cold. And I bravely knelt down by the poolside. And he got in the water. I didn't get in the water. I wouldn't get in on 30-degree water. We didn't have any waders with us. And I remember Briggs going out, he just took his breath away. We baptized him. I was so excited. He came to church. He got involved in all these things. And then he started kind of waning. And he could miss a service every now and then. He'd miss a couple of services every now and then. He'd miss a month. And then, you know, and we just kept calling him and said, what's going on with you? What's going on? And finally, I just went to his house. And Briggs, in tears, told me. And he had a sister that had a car wreck when she was 16 years old. And this was like 5 or 6 years after that. And she was a vegetable. We say people become vegetables. She literally laid in the living room and he walked by that bed every day. And she couldn't talk. She couldn't move. She couldn't do anything. She just laid in that bed all the time. And Briggs saw it. And I didn't know this. I didn't know this when it happened, but Briggs had told God, I'll be baptized, I'll get involved in church if you'll heal my sister, and it didn't happen. And he was mad at God and tried to walk away. You cannot manipulate God. Listen, at some point we probably all tried, Lord, if you'll do this, to do that. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he's like a wind. He goes wherever he wants to, and you can't control him. Some of us don't like that passage that Jesus said, he's like the wind. I remember trying to explain that away, man. You guys who grew up with CFC, I saw that passage, I was like, the Holy Spirit can't be like the wind because I got to be able to have control of this guy, okay? I got to make sure that he only does what I want him to do. And if I let him go like the wind, then what's going to happen? And I got scared, and that's part of the problem we'll talk about a little bit later on. We want to be able to say to him, set me on fire, but let me control the burn. I want all you got, Lord, but it's not that. I don't want any of that. You guys in Freedom heard Pastor Chris talk about last week about going to a service where these pastors were being prayed over, and he was pointing at them, and every time he did, somebody would fall down. They call it slain in the spirit. And he said, even in the video, he said, I don't understand all that. I don't even know what I believe about all that. But he said, I bowed up, and I said, no, I ain't going down for nobody. I love that when he said that in that video. And he said, whether or not I believe all of that is good or true, that was the wrong spirit. The wrong spirit is for you and I to sit back and go, I don't want anything that's going to make me look strange to me, let alone anybody else. I think we get scared. We get afraid of that. Man, so I want to move to the next point. The next point is the Holy Spirit is good. He's not only God, The Holy Spirit, y'all, is good. Scripture says, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He gives a reason, two reasons. One, for the forgiveness of your sins. And number two, he says, so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, growing up, we got the baptism part right. But that receiving the Holy Spirit thing, I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't. And I would baptize people, and I would say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that was it. But now I want people to understand that Jesus is saying, equate it with the baptism in water. Water doesn't do anything. It's the blood of Jesus. That's just an answer of a Bible says, really, you're saying to God, I want to obey what you told me to do. And it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But inside of that area of your life, inside that part, at some point, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't even know sometimes what that looks like. I've had people come up out of the water. Have y'all seen some of the funny baptism reels? You know, when guys are baptized and they come up out of the water, whoa, and do some crazy stuff and scare the pastor. And there's one, you need to Google this one. It's called the Cannonball Baptism. This one little kid, man, he's backstage. And y'all, the pastor's in the he's got his Bible with him. And he's talking to the congregation, getting them prepared for the baptism. All of a sudden, out of this corner of the video, you see this little kid cannonball, literally. I mean, whoo, and the water's going everywhere. And the pastor's freaking out. There's some pretty crazy stuff surrounding baptism. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've never been water baptized, you need to be. It's doing what Christ asked you to do. And he says here, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, hey, if nothing else, that's a great reason to do that. We should never need to fear anything that God wants to give us. Y'all hear that? I don't know if you heard it or not. Let me say it again. We never need to fear a gift from God. It's almost as though when we open up the subject of the Holy Spirit, we get this weird anxiety about us. What's somebody going to do? What are they going to say? Or if you're on the other end of the, if that's on the end of the spectrum I grew up on the other end, you'll say, well, if you don't do this, then you can't go to heaven. I had a guy tell me one time, it's a pastor friend of mine. He told me, he said, if you don't speak in tongues, you can't go to heaven. I said, I don't see that anywhere in my Bible because it ain't in there. Now, that was his belief. And it promoted me to really say to God, God, I'll do anything you need me to do. Wide open, whatever you want me to do. Years ago, I started praying that prayer, that Lord, I just want your presence. Whatever you want that to look like is all up to you. And so I think that's an extreme. Jesus wouldn't call something we had to be afraid of, a counselor, a friend, a comforter. That's my favorite, by the way. Because y'all need some comfort every now and then. I don't need anything, but somebody says, hey, it's all right. It's going to be okay. That's it. Calls him a helper. You know, that's one of the best prayers you can pray is help. That's all he says, Lord, help. What a great prayer. You see, giving the greatest gift excites God almost as much as probably more than it does us. Jesus was told to his disciples, they said, teach us how to pray, and he did that. And then he tells them that if you ask your Father for an egg, is he going to give you a rock? I may have got that mixed up. No, he said, if you ask for an egg, is he going to give you a scorpion? If you ask for a fish, is he going to give you a rock? And then he says this, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, you know what your kids like. It comes birthday time for my grandkids, and I usually always text the kids and say, hey, what do they like? What do they want? What do they need? I want to give a gift that they go, oh, yes. And that's what God wants to do with you. You're giving me that. He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I need my prayer team to come forward. I need you guys to be down here. We come to a moment in our service, and we don't ever do altar calls. We're not going to ask you to get up out of your chair. We're not going to ask you to come forward unless you want to. These people that are standing around this perimeter now, they're here to pray for you. Women pray with women. Men pray with men. And we ask you to do that for obvious reasons, but we want you to pray. Just pray. And I want to ask you today to take a step of faith with me. You see, God wants you to have and me to have supernatural power. Sounds like something out of a Marvel book, right, or something. No, that's all make-believe. Some of you right now, please, if your mind is on food, or if you're on the phone, or if you're not, I want you to, just for a moment, 1 minute, to put it all away and focus. Man, I'm so distracted. I can't do this by myself. That's another prayer I pray every day. God, I can't do this by myself. I have to have supernatural help. And some of you right now in your life are trying by natural means to fix a supernatural problem. And I don't know what that is for you. And you, I can fill in a blank with a lot of stuff, but you know what it is better than I know what it is. So whatever it is that you're doing that gives you that moment of pleasure or that moment of ease or that moment of false peace, because you know when you're done doing that, that the problem's still going to be there, that kind of thing you're doing, that's a natural solution to a supernatural problem. And you got to get to the heart of the issue. And stop trying to find the perfect church and the perfect Bible translation and the perfect song to sing and the perfect prayer to pray. Y'all, this is a messy world we live in. And all God is asking us to do, I want to jump. All God is asking us to do is just be ourselves. God bless Liz for having to be married to me, because I try so many times to make her something she's not. And sometimes she does me, and sometimes we get to, that's when we get in our biggest fights, is when I want her to do what I want her and she wants me to do. That's a supernatural issue. And some of you trying to find, I'm not the perfect pastor. I'm good and I'm handsome, but I'm not the perfect pastor. I'm not the guy that's going to get you to heaven. Jesus is. And until you give up, there's so many people in my mind right now I'm thinking about. I wish I could call their name and they'd be on the other side of that camera and I could say, please come back to God. And they're in your family. Hey, listen to this. They might be you. And you've been trying to figure it out and find out. God just says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. That actually, the word yoke means well-fitting. You put this on, I'm going to make the burden so easy to bear, you're not even going to know the burden's there. You're really not. Because I'm bigger than your burden. I'm bigger than your burden. To be afraid of the Holy Spirit is really to question the goodness of God, because he says, I want to give that to you. Please don't be afraid today. I want to ask you today, as we're going to sing and we're going to worship, and some of you are hesitant, and you don't have to come up here to these people. You can anytime you want to. In fact, to make that a little easier, let's all stand together. Would y'all stand with me? Come on, y'all stand. I want to ask everybody in the room to just close your eyes. Please close your eyes. Would you do that, please, for me, just one time? Give me another couple minutes here, another whatever. Would you be willing to just under your breath, or maybe say it out loud, just if you feel comfortable, let me just tell you what I'm going to ask you to say. And if you don't want to say it, you don't have to. You can resist again. And every time you resist, it'll get easier and you'll be fine. But you won't have the help you need. I want you to just say, God, I want all of what you have for me. So if you feel comfortable, just repeat after me. God, I want all of what you have for me. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for new understanding that you've given me. God, I ask you right now to take away any fears that I have, any negative feelings toward the Spirit that I have, anything that would block my fellowship with Holy Spirit. God, remove it, please, now. God, I want to be like Jesus, and I can't be without your Holy Spirit. God, I want to deal with situations better than I have been over the last few weeks in my heart and my mind. And I cannot do that without supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to be comfortable with things that have made me uncomfortable. And I cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do not want to be afraid. So here's the deal. If you in the moment want to go and you want to pray, I want you to be expectant. But I also don't want you to be surprised if absolutely when you pray with any of these prayer warriors, absolutely nothing happens. Just be expectant. It may not happen in this room. It may be tomorrow. Or it may be tonight. God's going to come in like he never has before. And you're going to wonder what's going on. You're going to wonder why. Why am I feeling this feeling? Why am I moving in this decision? Why am I not feeling anything? I want to ask you to remove two things from your heart today. Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. We're going to sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I want you to sing that like welcome here in your heart, in your thought processes. Let this be a prayer for you personally.
Overcome by your glory, Lord.
By your presence.
So your presence comes strong. Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord. Come and fill us with your presence, Lord. Oh, flood our hearts with your presence.
This is on my heart. Right now in this room, there are people who are in the room, but there's somebody that's not in the room that you know needs to be here. Not in this room necessarily, but in this presence. And I want you to take a moment and intercede. I want to intercede for you and for that person. You keep in your mind who that is. Maybe they're far away from God. Maybe you think in your mind they will never give their lives back to Jesus or even assent to faith for the very first time. Whatever that person is feeling, I want to pray and intercede with you. Father God, right now we lift up the names that are in the hearts of all the people in this room, the people that are in my heart. Lord, I could call names, I won't. But Father, I thank you, God, that you're touching their heart right now. I want to proclaim in Jesus' name, before it ever happens, Lord, I want to proclaim faith. I want to proclaim hope, Lord, and bring it into their lives, God. I pray that you will keep them from harm, keep them from danger, keep them from problem, keep them from whatever it is, Lord, unless that's what needs to motivate them to come to you, God. Please, Father, protect them so that they can see and know you. Help them, Father, not just
hear us talk about it all the time and hear the church talk about it. Father, help them to sense and know your presence, God, like never before as we intercede for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes people don't know what to do. And I want you to know, man, it was years and years and years. I come to a service like this, I didn't know what to do. Scared. I want you to know it's okay to be there. It's all right to not know what to do. But I promise you, as God is my witness in my heart, I want to help you know what to do. Please, when we're done here today, find me. Find Leah. Find these, one of these prayer warriors. Find one of our shepherds. Find, just look around. And if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, come find me and I'll find somebody that knows the answer. Come on, y'all. We'll find it. We'll figure it out. But don't leave here today one more time having resisted something that could have changed your heart forever. Am I pleading too much? I don't know. But I'm asking. Asking for you to think about that. Your presence, Lord. When we dismiss here in a little bit, we'll be standing around. We'll be around. Please come and see us. All of our guests, we love you. You say, you don't even know me. How can you love me? Because Jesus loved us first. They say, you don't know our mess. Well, you don't know mine. You don't know mine, but Jesus did. He accepted me anyway. And we want you to give us the opportunity to get to know you a little bit. The house lights are going to come up. We can see each other. And if you have any questions about what happened here today, please see me and talk to me about it. And especially if it's something I said. I love you. It's Sunday. If you go to a restaurant today, make it the best day that waiter or waiter or waitress has ever seen. Love people. Take care of people. Go get some rest. Some of y'all are tired. Some of y'all look tired. Go get some rest today. Step three this afternoon. Y'all come back and be with us. We love you. Hope you guys have a great day. God bless.